This is Frank Hilton on January the 26th, 1999, talking with Bill Lim in his home at 2510 Southside. Bill, glad to have you with us today. You were a Sea Scout skipper. Tell me a little about Sea Scout and how you got involved.
Well, I was in Sea Scouting when I was a kid.
Where was this?
In Fort Worth. And the family didn't have any Sea Scouting. And in True Form, we had four or five boys that were very interested in Sea Scouting, or very interested in the water. And we spent a lot of time going to lakes and going boating. And at that time, the man that owned the boat dock there by the dam, his son was in the creek.
And this was Lake Brownwood.
Lake Brownwood. And we'd use his boat. I happened to know of a sailboat that was for sale, and I loved to sail. And we bought the sailboat and got the ship started.
You remember what y'all named the sailboat?
No, I don't. I do not remember what we named it. But we had a lot of fun with it. And the boys thoroughly enjoyed it. And as a result, another ship was organized at the First Baptist Church on the Grand Pitch, and they called it Ship 8.
Lasted for 1 year.
And I said, we built six canoes.
Fiberglass or
wood canvas? Wood canvas cover. And two of the boys in the street, at that time we lived down on Avenue B. And Jeff and then I was riding the driveway. Two of the boys, one of them today is a professional scouter, and that's Bert Kennedy.
Huh.
He and his brother lived right over on Austin Avenue, and they spent a lot of time in my driveway with two or three of the other boys working on those canoes, and we had fun.
Did y'all go to any activities or events or anything?
No. We went to the Naval Base in Grand Prairie and spent the weekend two or three times up there with them.
Did they have an event up there?
No.
Y'all just went as a
There were others there. We weren't the only ones. There were others there too. But I wouldn't call them then. It was just
getting together.
Nothing special planned, nothing laid out. In other words, they had no program really set up. We did what we wanted to do. They set up what they could do, and the boys all voted on what they wanted to do, and that's what we did. And we thoroughly enjoyed that trip.
Did y'all ever participate in any canoe races, like the Highland Lakes canoe race, or?
Just among ourselves.
Among yourselves?
Not among any
other ships. Did any of the ships here get together for joint events?
We got together with Ship 8 several times.
That was Groner Pitt's ship over at the First Baptist Church.
We went to Fort Worth twice. Went to the Fort Worth Boat Club and sailed in races with them. And they let us use their big sailboats. Other than that, that was just about it. We had one great event we made one time. We put our sailboat, our canoe in at the dam at the lake. We went down the bowels, Lake Buchanan.
All the way from
all
here
the
to
way.
The Colorado River.
We carried the canoe more than we rode.
That was what, 100 miles or 50 miles?
Yeah, we made a mistake. You know, it was my fault. It wasn't anybody else's. It was my fault. I did not check to see if the water was up all the way. We got just past Brownwood and bowel was down so low that we carried it more than that. We got to the Colorado River and there was long sections of it that we couldn't float the canoe in, but we couldn't sit in because it hit bottom.
How long did y'all take for this trip?
3 weeks.
3 weeks? That's a long time. What did y'all do in the 3 weeks besides carry your canoe?
Just cut up.
Fishing, swimming. Y'all ever go in with pounds and eat or anything?
No. Some of the parents would meet us every once in a while with the food and come along.
How many went?
Well, we started out with all six canoes and we ended up with four.
What happened to the other two?
They got the brown one. They got the Colorado and the boys backed out. They didn't want to go. The parents brought the canoes, picked their canoes up, brought them back. We had three boys picking it.
So you had about 12 of you that,
right.
That went. That's a pretty good sized group.
And we had fun. I said, you know. Like I said, it was my people in the stage, it wasn't. Now, I didn't go with them the full trip. The man that was my first mate made the whole trip with
me. Who was that?
Name was Evans, Ben Evans.
What did he do? What did he do for a living? You worked for them for the telephone company?
I worked for Southwest. Then it was Southwest Estate Telephone Company. It wasn't General Southwest. Ben was going to school, going to college. And,
Who were some of the...
It wasn't Ben. His name wasn't Ben. Ben's still here. It was Evans. But they lived to Lake.
Well, what, y'all go out to Lake Brownwood, spend the night on the lake?
Oh, we spent a lot. We had a key to the gate. At that time, the dam was locked. You couldn't cross the dam. And we had a key to the gate, and we'd go over and camp out on the dam, on the point out there anytime we wanted to.
So there wasn't anything over there?
No, there
wasn't any development or anything like
that. There wasn't any development there. There were a few boat houses along the shoreline, but there was no houses, nobody lived there. It wasn't open to the public. And we spent a lot of time on that point, and we spent a lot of time out there on the island, too.
What are some of the kids? You mentioned Dabney and Burt Kennedy. Who else was that you remember were good active members in that ship?
Offhand, Frank, I can't remember.
Without looking at the charter?
I was going to get my... If I knew where all my stuff was filed, it's stuck in the file someplace.
I don't have any pictures of any Sea Scouts that
you
put in the book.
I've got pictures of this.
Well, I need to get at least one that I can copy.
All right, Bridges is on it?
Yes.
Oh, now wait, we've got one Sea Scout. You know, Sea Scout.
Got the Quartermaster Award.
Yeah, got the Quartermaster Award, and he was one of the top guns in the Navy's prize bunch,
yeah.
And Marshal Biddy.
Yeah, I've got him listed somewhere in this.
Marshal Biddy.
With the Quartermaster Award. I forgot where I put it in the book.
He was one of the members of the Navy's top gun pilot.
Oh, he was.
And when we had our reunion for the troops here a few years ago, he came to it. And somewhere I've got his address.
What do you remember about Sea Scouting in the council then? Was it just very small?
It was small. And we weren't lucky enough to get enough to do that. And when I started having heart trouble, and I couldn't really participate anymore, I did. The boys just lost interest.
Wasn't anybody to go with them?
Well, we couldn't get anybody. Evans had moved to Irving up in that area, and we couldn't get anybody to take it over.
So it died in 65.
It just died.
What, how about your Boy Scout stuff? You were involved in Boy Scouting too. You mentioned Troop 1.
I came to Brownwood. I came, after I came out, well, I was married to my name in 1943. And I left, and shortly after that, I was shipped out. And when I came back to Europe in 45, we decided, Vernon had a good job, he was helping things. And we decided that this was halfway between my family and her family. And this is where we would stay. And I met somebody, and Jack Quarrel was the scouting place, and they introduced me to Guy. And Guy said, we need you in scouting. When he found out I'd been out there in scouting, he said, we need you in scouting. I said, okay, well, he said, we have a scout team that needs an assistant. I said, all right, where is it? He said, yeah. Well, go up to Davis Floor Company and talk to Manny Webb.
Manny was Scoutmaster Troop 1 at that time.
Manny was Scoutmaster, and I went up and talked to Manny, and he said, you bet. And I don't remember exactly why he said it, but the next Monday night at the meeting, I was there. And I worked with Manny, and thoroughly enjoyed working with Manny for several years, and he finally decided he was going to step out and get out, and I took over.
And you were Scoutmaster of Troop 1?
I was Scoutmaster of Troop 1 for, well, up until, I guess, when Jimmy Wilkins took it over. And when the First Methodist Church built this new building out here, they wanted to drop the troop. So we went to First Christian Church and got them to take it over.
Yeah, Troop 1 used to meet in the basement downtown, didn't it?
In the basement. The basement was ours. And that was... And the First Christian Church took over Troop 1, and Jimmy had it up for several years, and then my grandson was in the troop, and his father started working with Jimmy as his assistant. And Jimmy moved over to another one of the churches and organized another troop. And Tom took over Troop 1.
And he was Scoutmaster for a long time.
And I've been on the committee in Troop 1 ever since I stepped down as Scoutmaster.
How many years you have in Scouting now? I know it's over 60.
Yeah, well, I became a Scout in 1930.
Been registered ever since?
Yeah.
That's 60.
No, I've
except in the service.
5 years in military service.
So you've been in 60 years then?
I've been in over 60.
63 years.
4 years.
I know you got your 60-year veteran award. I was still around then. I think that was the last banquet I went to, or the one next to the last.
I got my 60 in 1995.
Yeah. So you'll be eligible for years in the year 2000 for your 66.
Yeah.
Tell me, you've been very much involved in the National Rifle Association just about all your life, haven't you?
Well, mostly.
What? How did you get involved at Camp Billy Gibbons and the rifle range down there?
Well, Uncle Billy Gibbons and my father-in-law were personal friends.
Who was your father-in-law?
John Howell. And here he and Verna sit down and claim to be 17th cousins.
17th cousins.
But Verna and I were down with at third place. She lived in Chapel, which is in San Saba County. And her dad was going over to see Uncle Billy. So I went with him. And a group from Burnwood was down there looking at the side on the ranch that Uncle Billy was giving for a camp. Because the old campsite was been torn up. Something happened to it anyway. It wasn't usable. And I was there when they picked that site.
That's the new bit of giving, don't we call it? That's interesting. Well, I go on from there.
So, I worked down there helping cut the trees down to build a mess hall. I helped build a mess hall.
Oh, you did? You must have been young then.
As a matter of fact, I helped build nearly every building there is on that camp.
You have? Well, tell me about when they selected the camp. Do you remember the sequence in which they built things down there?
No, I don't.
I know they put in a well, and I know they put in the dam, and I know they put in the dining hall, and that was done. The dining hall wasn't there the first year.
No, the first 2 years they had camp.
Had camp before they put. What did they use for a dining hall? Just a tent?
We had a great big army mess tent. I don't want to do it.
Probably camp boy or something.
I wouldn't buy it. That's what they used for the mess hall.
For the first year, too.
If I remember right, it was the first 2 years.
I know they drilled a well the first thing for that to happen.
First thing, that somebody, and I don't know whether it was the state or what it was, somebody said they had to have drinking water, approved drinking water before they built the camp. And I laughed. I think it was Thurman Smith that I was talking to. He said, well, why not? I said, good gosh, how many trips have I been on with the Army that we could get it?
Well, how about the dam? When did it get built?
I don't remember.
Was it there the first year or two?
No, it wasn't.
They swam in Blue Hole?
Swam in Blue Hole.
First couple of years.
And the end of the dam washed out, wasn't it?
Yeah, I've been trying to figure. I think it's around 1950, but I don't have any dates on it.
I don't know. Somewhere in my stuff, I've got the dates, but I have pictures of the water going around.
I've been trying to find a picture of that thing for 5 years.
I've got it somewhere in all my stuff.
Well, I'm gonna have to ask you to try to find it.
I will. And I'll try to find the pictures of Sea Scouts in there.
When the dam went out. Did they have summer camp that summer anyway without it?
I don't remember.
What do you remember about the Camp Billy Gibbons right after they got it? You said you helped build most of the buildings.
I just remember how much fun it was and how much we enjoyed going down there and being there. And I'll tell you a good one on that. Richard Wilkins. You know Richard?
Oh, yeah. By the way, he just had bypass surgery.
He's in
Israel or somewhere right now. Yeah.
We were down there for a weekend camp out. And I got after some of them for being down at Blue Hole. I said, you don't go down there by yourself. No way. And I said, stay away from us, stay up here. Little while one of the kids came up, Mr. Man, we need some help down here, we need some help now. So what's that? I said, we've got a great big tooth, and we can't get it out. So I go down there, and here's Richard standing there. He got a trout line out there. And they couldn't pull that big fish out. That's the one that's over the fireplace in the mess hall.
Oh, it is. So Rick, who caught it?
Rick did.
Rick Wilkins caught the fish over the fireplace.
And I said, well, why don't you pull that trout line out? Well, it's tied on the other side. We can't pull it. I said, who was it? Rick swam over and tied it over there. Did not tell you that you could not go swimming down.
Well, I always wondered who caught. Do you remember when he caught that fish?
No, I don't remember. Rick caught it. If I remember right, Rick's the one that cleaned it.
They cleaned it, got it ready to be mounted.
He brought it into town. He brought it into town and had it mounted.
And that was caught at Blue Hole.
That's caught at Blue Hole.
I don't know whether you could catch one that big or not at Blue Hole.
Oh,
God.
Oh, I've seen some figures that size, you know what I mean? Oof.
How about, because we never did get to the rifle range. We got sighted.
Well, at the time, I was a range instructor for the NRA. And I condemned the rifle range.
Wasn't that the one they had in the gully that was shooting against the
wall? Down by the old way.
Now ceremony is
now.
They were shooting in that gully up against
the wall. They shot against that rifle wall, and at that time, troop one camp right off the top of the hill. And when they were shooting, his bullet would ricochet, you could hear him sitting up at the campsite, you could hear him sing out through the trees. And I said, that was unsafe. And I made quite a few of them on the council mad day, but I said, that is not a safe rifle range. And that's when we moved it down to where it is now.
That was in 1965, is what I've read. There was a group of men that
right.
Will build a new range and move it.
I got the steel donated for the backstop. And I got some of it. Whoever the strategist was at that time.
It was John Pound.
John Pound. Was it John? Anyway, he got some donated too. And some of the boys out of the troop. And out of troop 22, hauled the steel down there, and Wally Wofsky and Pepper.
Neil Pepper?
Neil Pepper. There were four of them that worked sitting up the steel plate.
That wasn't an easy job.
No, it wasn't an easy job. And somebody came along later. We had them sitting at an angle.
45-degree.
45-degree angle. I don't know if we had exactly 45 degrees, but we had them sitting at an angle. Somebody came along a few years later and decided that wasn't right, and they stood them up straight.
Which was wrong.
Which is absolutely wrong. That caused a lot of fury, you know.
Well, eventually closed the dang range down.
Oh, yeah. But I don't know what had happened to all the steel.
I don't either.
And I had some bullet traps made.
Out of tires, wasn't it?
No, out of steel.
Oh, you did?
Some bullet traps made out of steel. Before we got the steel plates for the backdrop, the security cable donated big cable reels for the backup.
Mm-hmm.
And this outfit up here on the Brady Highway, there by the youth fair, made and donated the bullet trap. I took them a design from the NRA on the bullet trap, and they made them. Well, after we got the steel backstop put up, we took those bullet traps and put them in the storeroom there in that front of the mess hall. And they disappeared.
Never got put up?
Yeah, we used them.
Oh, you did use them?
Well,
they take them down every...
We took them down after camp every year and put them in their storage. But after we got the steel plates put up at the right angle, they were stored in that
room, just
the mess hall. And because we didn't need them. And they disappeared.
Hmm. Yeah, I know they weren't around when I was here.
Not fair. I had an idea when it went, but that's just my idea. I had no proof of it.
What do they call those things? Something crap?
Bullet trap.
Bullet trap. Well, did you ever teach marksmanship at camp during summer camp?
You bet. Several years. And, I go out here to the WOW camp now every summer and teach out there.
Well, they had rifle shooting at Camp David Gibbons for a long, long time.
Oh, you bet.
You know, it started out with archery was the first thing they used for years, and then kids made their own bows and arrows. And then they went to, rifle became the next popular thing. What, you said that you've been in scouting since 1930. Where did you do your scouting?
Fort Worth.
As a boy?
In Fort Worth. Right where Douglas Church. Right before the step, I got black bedroom and stuff.
One of these days, you're going to have to clean it out. Why you still do it?
Even my storeroom out at the back, I've got to clean it out.
Yeah. What, you were active in Alder Vieira back then, too, weren't you?
I was active in Alder Vieira. Well, that's a sore spot with me. When I got into it, I got the Cooney.
Right, you were in the Cooney Ace Society. That was before
the OA came into existence.
Yeah, that was about, when you first came here, you were in Cooney Ace.
Yeah, I got the Cooney Ace before.
All right. Well, I didn't know they had Cooney Ace Society in Fort Worth.
Well, they was out at Worth Ranch. I don't know that Fort Worth is the county itself has, but I know that the weekend that I got into it, there was a group from
Waco.
I believe it was Waco.
They had a group in Waco.
I believe that's where they were there, and they initiated us into it.
And that's where we got it, is from Waco.
I believe it was Waco, but boy, that's been too long ago.
So you got in Cooney A's here?
So then I just joined the OA when I came in here. I went through the initiation and everything, the OA here. But I belonged to the OA a long time. And 2 years in a row, I paid my dues at camp and they didn't get credit for it.
They lost the record.
So I just, lost the record. So I just quit. And it made Tom Miller. Tom said, well, but I got my receipt for it, thank you. And I said, well,
that doesn't count.
I said, Tom, just, Tom said, Dad, that's not right. And I said, no, it's not right. But that's beside the point. I said, this.
But you were involved in building G Lodge.
Right.
How did you get involved in that?
We went with, well, I think it was Troop 22, Troop 1, and one other troop, and troop from San Salvador, hauled the rock, went around and gathered up all the rock and hauled it up for the building.
And that was all from camp, all that rock.
That rock all came from the camp area and the ranch area, not just out of camp, out of the ranch area too. But at that time, the man that was the foreman of the ranch was a real good friend of ours. And he took us and showed us where we could pick up some rock. And boy, we hauled rock. And then I just took you on weekends and we'd go down there and we, all of us, just took you and help work.
So they had one guy that was a masonry or something.
We had two.
Two?
There were two men that were rock masonry.
I think they're the same ones did the gate, didn't they?
Yeah.
For camp?
And
they did the gate and did the G-Lodge?
Yeah, the two that, I don't know that both of them worked on the gate, but I know one of them did. But they did all the making, rock making work. The kids, all of us that were there would help haul rock up to the gate. Hold it and put it while they cemented it in and put it in like it was supposed to be. At the woodwork and all the woodwork, the biggest part of us was all the woodwork.
Put the windows in and stuff like that.
Rock masons didn't do things like that.
Well, it took you all 5 years to build it, I know that.
It was a long time. I didn't know it was 5 years by year.
I bet some people thought it was never going to get done.
I thought that was one of the greatest projects that was ever done down there besides rebuilding the back end of the dam he worked at.
Tell me something. You said you were involved in the building of the dining hall?
Yes.
The material came from the old camp?
Yeah, that's my understanding. It came from the old
they
camp.
Tore down the old dining hall and brought it up there and used that
that's
same.
That's what I'm saying.
You know,
I know they go down to the old campsite while the buildings and all there. I went down there 3 or 4 times later, but everything's been cleared away. And
I've never been down there. What did they do for latrines and things at camp first couple of years? They just
had tent, had little. Now, did you know Jimmy Wilkins?
No, I know of him. Rick's brother?
Rick's brother.
Yeah.
I can tell you a good one on him. He was my sister scout man. And we were down there. We had a habit when we went to camp. The first year campers, all of them had to go off on the part when you keep the guns, run the birds up.
Snipe hunt?
Snipe hunt. And Rick had to be, if I was up on the road with the bunch that was going to go with the tow sack to catch the birds, Rick was down on the side of the hill with the, no, I was up on the road with the drum beaters, and Rick was down on the side of the hill with the sack holder, sack. At that time, there was a bunch of wild pigs in there. And those kids started beating those drums. Some of the wild pigs run the toe sacks, and the toe sack that Jim was holding, a pig run in it, and it scared Jim, and he ended up in Brady Street. Hey. Sit down. Sit. Now just be still.
That was funny.
But the kids that were down there all like that. So the kids didn't end up in pigs. Jimmy's the only one who ended up in water.
What did you do? Run away? Or
run away?
Ran and ran right well, into the creek?
Yeah, Jimmy turned around. If I remember right, Frank, they were standing on that road.
On the river.
By the river. And the pig run in Jim's track.
He really did get a snipe.
I remember one time when we got into quite an argument about snipes, and there wasn't any such thing as a snipe. So I dug out my game digest and showed everybody that it really is a snipe.
What other things do you remember about scouting and this council? Expositions, scout-o-ramas, swim meets, anything of that?
Oh, I remember we used to have
first aid meet.
Yeah, we used to have a circus. And we had quite a few scout circuses. And we conducted circus in the old Lions Stadium down there by the old high school.
Yeah, they tore that down recently.
No, it's not torn down.
The Lions Stadium?
Yeah. Isn't it still there?
No, that's Central.
Oh, that's right. They built
or the Men Intermediate School or whatever they call that thing down there.
Yeah.
When did they have those?
We used to have them once a year, and I don't remember
what. Was it fall or spring?
I think it was in the fall, if I'm not sure. We had a lot of fun. The kids really put on action. For each troop, each unit in the council had a part in it.
I think the first circus was put on in 1940. Well, what did they do at the circus? Was it everybody from out of town came in, or just the local people?
No, everybody came in. Anybody in the council that wanted to come in. It was council-wide.
Activity.
I remember right, it was council-wide. Every unit in the council could come in to participate.
The first known scout circus was in 1940 in the Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Hall in Brownwood.
Right.
And it was the first annual scout circus in 40.
Yeah, and that was.
And they had them every year after that?
No, we didn't have it every year. We had it several years, but we didn't have it every year. At the, I don't know why they moved it to the
stadium,
football stadium. Moved it to the football stadium for some reason.
When did they finally poop out on those?
I don't remember, Frank.
Is that when they replaced it with a scout-o-rama or an exposition? Or
I just don't remember when we did it and when we stopped and why they stopped. I do remember that there was lots of controversy. Different ones that didn't want to see it stop, wanted to keep going, raised quite a stink about it.
Well, they built towers and they would do other things, wouldn't they? Put up.
They built towers and they fell off the towers. They had built bridges and walked across
Monkey bridges.
And they built one time I remember they built a bridge and drove a pickup over it.
Huh.
At they built the bridge one time from one side of the stadium to the other for them to walk across. And by the time they got to the middle of it, it went clear to the ground.
Whoever did the center section didn't do it well.
No, whoever tied it.
Wow.
It didn't tie it tight.
What, do you remember any scout-a-ramas or expositions?
Yeah, I remember them all, but just to remember what went on, what we did.
Where'd they have them?
We had, that I don't remember either. I know we had some of them there in the old
National Guard Army?
Yeah, we had some in the soldiers' trailers. You never did get to see that thing, did you?
No, where was it?
It wasn't the Coliseum, yeah.
Oh, they tore it down.
They
was
tore
it
down
an old barracks building, or?
No, it was a big, building like a gymnasium.
Oh, it was.
We used to hold an indoor rifle matches in it.
Oh, you did?
We held three or four national indoor rifle matches in it.
Well, like a big convention hall.
Like a big convention hall. And I think that's what it was built for.
With the hotel nearby and all that. Where was the scout office?
When I first got into it, it was in the basement of the courthouse.
When did then, that was where it'd been for many years?
If you go into the courthouse, it was on the left-hand side, and the jump got, the red cross was on the right-hand side.
Is that where the Red Cross and the Boy Scouts got to know each other? Because I know they've worked together for years and years.
I don't know.
Where did it move? They moved to
moved from there
to some building behind what's now Adams Street Community Center. The Red Cross, Girl Scouts, and Boy Scouts were all in one building.
No, if I remember right, the building's right there where it is now, where it's got off the street now.
And well, they moved several places. They were on Lee Street for a couple
Then they moved from there over on the Fisk and Austin.
Yeah.
And they moved over in that building. And then...
there was some place they were over behind what's now the Brian Wood Bulletin. But I don't
know. Well, now that would be the building, but I was thinking it was right there where the building is now. So.
No, it was a couple of blocks away.
Yeah, I see.
But I don't know where the... I don't know when they moved out of the courthouse or why.
I don't either. I think one of them was they didn't have enough room.
Well, you came here in 41 and they were still in the courthouse.
Yeah, they were still in the courthouse.
You remember approximately about 2 or 3 years or longer?
Well, they were still in the courthouse in 45.
They were?
Yeah. It was either in the late 40s or early 50s when they moved out of the courthouse.
Did, was it because the new scout executives come here enough?
I don't know, but I'm sure the main reason was that there wasn't enough room down there for us. But I'm just guessing at that. But I'm sure that was it, but they didn't have very much room in there.
Who was your scout executive when you came here?
Guy Quirrell.
Yeah, Guy Quirrell was quite a guy. What can you tell me about?
Kidding. He sure was.
He had to be older by the time he quit as scout executive here, because he was here from, well, he was in the All Belt Council in 26, came here in 32, and he was here, I think, till 56 or 46 or somewhere. It was
I don't remember exactly when he left.
I've got it.
Oh, I remember the farewell party was there for him.
Yeah.
quite an event.
Oh, you're not that kidding.
I have it in here when he
went. I was trying to think where he went. I think he went to Texas and up that way when he left you.
He was scout executive to 54.
54.
Yeah. And that's probably when they moved the scout office, was when old Joe Galbert came in as scout executive.
And, the Boy Scout office was in one end of the building and the Red Cross in the other end of it. And one of the girls that was in our rifle club became secretary for the Boy Scout, Judy Pointer. And I have a picture of Judy Pointer that I surprised her with the other night, last Tuesday night. I found some old pictures of rifle pants. She was, well,
I'll show you a picture of.
There's John Woods presenting awards to the group of.
John active with shooting club?
Oh, you bet. No, he was real active with us. His daughter was on the team.
Oh, she was.
I found these the other day.
Well, you're making progress.
That's like the pictures of you. Because I've got the troops all there. They're somewhere. I don't know where. They're somewhere.
When did you retire, Bill?
1983.
1983, so you've been retired about 16 years now.
I retired when I was 65. That was taken in California.
Now you went to Fort Bowie when it was, Camp Bowie when it was here or when it was up in Fort Worth?
Well, it was here.
It was here, because there was a Camp Bowie up in Fort Worth.
Yeah, that during World War I.
Okay. Yeah. Billy Lynn is how you went when you were younger, wasn't it?
Right. Hey.
Come on. What do you remember about your scouting in Fort Worth when you went to Camp Worth?
Well, the thing I really remember about, that's especially my oldest sister. That's a picture of my mother and younger sister. That's when I came back to Norway.